On God, amen. Today, the church celebrates the glorious feast of the Annunciation. And the Annunciation is one of the seven major feasts of the church. And as we read in the Synaxar, it is the beginning of all the feasts of the church, because this feast is the conception of our Lord Jesus Christ in the womb of the Virgin. And so today the date is... Today the date is... the 29th of Baramhat, April 7th. In 9 months from today, we will celebrate Christmas, January 7th, or the 29th of Kiyak. And that's why our church, every month on the 29th, for these 9 months, we have a celebration and we pray in the joyful tomb, because we are celebrating Jesus Christ inside the womb. And the scripture reveals in the story of Saint Mary visiting Saint Elizabeth that baby Saint John the Baptist, he leapt in the womb of Elizabeth to worship God. So the scripture and the church teaches us that life starts at conception. We also celebrate the Feast of the Annunciation because the economy of salvation, the economy means the great plan of salvation, begins today. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He was born to die, and He was conceived to take away the sins of the world. That's why we say in the liturgy, as St. John said, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And St. Paul, he said it so nicely in his epistle to St. Timothy. He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world." Why did Jesus come into the world? He came into the world to save sinners, of who I am chief. Today is also the third Sunday of the Great Lent. And had the feast not fallen on a Sunday, the church would have read the Gospel of Samaritan Woman. So I couldn't help but think of the similarities between the Samaritan Woman and the Feast of the Annunciation. In both stories, there is a divine revelation, one from an angel and one from the Lord Himself. In both stories, there is some initial confusion about the revelation. Our Lady said, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the Samaritan woman said, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do we get that living water?" In both stories, both women accept the message and they become great witnesses and evangelists of our Lord. And today, what I'd like to do is break down some of these similarities and speak about each one in more detail. The first similarity is the divine revelation. In the Feast of the Annunciation, the archangel revealed the plan of God to save the world. He didn't give all the details, but he gave our Lord as much as she needed to know. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He took flesh to reveal the mystery of the Godhead. It is through the Son that we are able to be filled with the living water, to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, to have relationship with the Father. And the divine revelation is very important in the spiritual life, because each one of us needs to encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of us needs to live with Him as St. Mary lived with Him. And encountering our Lord is not difficult, because as you see in both of these stories, the Lord Jesus Christ came to them. God appeared to Moses. God appeared to St. Paul. In the Old Testament, Moses, he pitched a tent in the middle of the wilderness. And you know what he called the tent? He called the tent the tent of... the tent of what? He called it the tent of meeting, because that was the place where the people were supposed to meet God. and to have fellowship with God. It's written in Exodus 33, and it came to pass that when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked to Moses. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as man speaks to his friend. And the Lord said to Moses, as he was speaking to Moses, he said, My presence will go with you and will give you rest. My presence will go with you and will give you rest. I feel like although the message that's like the angel gave to St. Mary was difficult, and the message that, you know, he gave to the Samaritan woman was kind of cryptic, they found rest in the message. And I was wondering, are we going through the journey of life accompanied by the presence of God? Are we going through the journey of life accompanied by the presence of God? If God did not accompany the Israelites in the wilderness, their fate would have been death. They couldn't survive in the wilderness. So you see the difference? The difference is, with God you have rest. Without God you have death. So we need to have this encounter with God. One encounter with God was enough to change the life of the Samaritan woman. And we are blessed every time we attend the liturgy to have an encounter with the Lord. Every time we pray, we are transported to the throne of God. This is a divine encounter. And we are blessed to encounter the Lord every time we hear the Word of God. Every reading in the church, every sermon, every Sunday school lesson is an opportunity to encounter the Lord. And that's why we just prayed these words. We said, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Are your eyes seeing? Are your ears hearing? If your eyes are not seeing, or your ears are not hearing, what would you do? You would go to see the eye doctor or the ear doctor. And one of the best ways to encounter Christ is by doing examination. Examination by going to the doctor, by repentance, by confession. Isaiah, he told the Israelites something very interesting. He said, the reason you can't encounter God, the reason you can't see God in your life, the reason you can't hear God, he said, because your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. But God hears my confession. God hears my cries of repentance. And this is the best way to encounter Christ. That's why in the Vespers last night, the gospel was about the sinful woman who entered the house of Simon the Pharisee and encountered Christ. And she washed the feet of Christ with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And so today I feel the readings are an encouragement, an invitation for us to encounter Christ, to wash His feet, to give Him a drink at the well. And in return, the Lord will give the forgiveness of sins. The Lord will justify us. The Lord will reveal His love to us. The Lord will give us peace. And that's why He said to the sinful woman, "Go in peace." Because the Lord gave her the living water. You know, the psalm last night of the Vespers was very beautiful. It said, "Bow down from your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Come down, Lord. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Stretch your hand from above, and rescue me, and deliver me out of the great waters." I feel the repentance and confession is the best way to encounter Christ. And when you reach out to God, He will save us from the great waters. The second similarity between the story of the Annunciation and the Samaritan woman was this like initial confusion. As I mentioned, both St. Mary and the Samaritan woman were both initially confused by the divine revelation. And this initial confusion reminded me of the spiritual dryness that we often face in the spiritual life. Maybe we received an encounter and divine revelation, but after we receive a divine revelation, maybe sometimes there's a period of dryness, a period of difficulties, a period of challenges. And sometimes I'm confused by many things that are happening on. My prayers, my Bible reading is not the way it used to be. And I don't understand why the things are happening to me. And we say, God, I know You care about me. I know You spoke to me. I know You love me. But why can't I feel this love now? Why is all of this happening? And the result of this is that I feel a little confused. And there's many reasons for this confusion. I feel like the spiritual life has seasons, like weather has seasons. Some seasons are hot, some seasons are cold. Some seasons, there's lots of rain, and some seasons are very, very dry. And some of these seasons are outside of our control. You cannot control the weather. But as we learn from the story of Joseph, 7 years before the famine, he had 7 years of plenty. There were 7 years of plenty. And the way they survived the famine was that they were living on the harvest that took place from the years of the plenty. And so when we are feeling spiritually dry, we need to rely on the spiritual harvest. We need to focus on the memories that we had with God, the encounters that we had with God before. We need to focus on the promises of God. We need to rely on the past and actually relive those things in the present. You know, St. Paul, he had some very, 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 very difficult times in his life. But I believe what was carrying him through those difficult times is that he was focused on the cross. And the cross and the suffering of Christ gave him fuel to continue his preaching. The cross was in the past, but he was carrying his cross daily. And that's why he said, I die daily. Maybe another source of spiritual dryness is my environment. I may not be able to control the weather outside and how much it will rain outside, but I have control on my local environment. We have the thermostat here. It's a little warm. And if we surround ourselves by dry people, we will become dry. Ancient civilizations, they used to live by water. And we need to surround ourselves by people who are full of the living water. The prodigal son of last week, he became very spiritually dry and confused because he left his father's house and went to a far country, and there was a famine there. But it was his memory, that was the previous point, and his desire to change his environment, to leave behind this far land, and to move back to his father's house. That's what saved him from the spiritual dryness. We all have habits, and we have things in our environment that we need to change. So we need things like the things that we watch, how we spend our time, who we talk to. All of these things can bring confusion in our life. All of this affects the moisture of our heart. You know, this Lent I've been eating a lot of dried fruit. It's a good Lenten snack. But if you take some dried fruit and you let it soak in water, the dried fruit absorbs a ton of water and becomes plump again. And I feel like we are like this sweet fruit. Our environment might dry us out, but we can be rehydrated by being immersed in water, by being soaked with the living water. Change your environment as the prodigal son. Leave the water pot behind as the Samaritan woman did. Be like St. Mary, who in the psalm today said, forget your own people and your father's house. That's a change of an environment. This is a way we can get out of our spiritual dryness. The good news for us is that this dryness, this confusion in the spiritual life is finite. After this period of purification, there is no more confusion. There is enlightenment. And tradition tells us that the Samaritan woman's name is Saint. The Samaritan woman, her name is Fotini. Fotini means the enlightened one. One church father, he said, another similarity between Our Lady and the Samaritan woman. The church father said, she stopped bearing water and became a bearer of God. St. Mary is the Theotokos, and she also became a bearer of God by changing her environment. The second similarity was the initial confusion and the spiritual dryness. The last similarity between Our Lady and the Samaritan woman is that they both accepted the message, and they both became great witnesses and evangelists of our Lord. One consistent message that was in all of the readings today, is that if you hear the word of God, you need to. Until you didn't read the readings today, did you? You need to do. You need to take action. The Catholic Epistle said, by this we know Him. If we keep His commandments, he who says, I know Him, I'm Christian, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. In the Matins Gospel this morning, the people said to our Lord, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. And our Lord Jesus Christ replied to them and said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word and keep it. You know, one thing that I was thinking about is we have washing machines in our house, right? But unfortunately, the washing machines do not spontaneously clean our clothes. Our clothes, they must be put into the washing machine. Through the incarnation, our Lord has given us the washing machine, if you will. He has given us the way of salvation. It is the narrow way. It is the way of the cross. It is the way to heaven. But if we want to be on this path, we need to obey. We need to put our clothes in the washing machine. Today we want to be like St. Mary and say, behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. One thing that touched me in the Egbeia prayers last night is one of the prayers that we say in the midnight prayer of the Egbeia. We say, you are the rampart of our salvation, O Theotokos the Virgin, the mighty and impregnable fortress. Abolish the counsel of the adversaries and transform the sorrow of your servants into joy. Fortify our church, defend our fathers, intercede for the peace of the world. For you are... You guys know this prayer? For you are our hope, O Theotokos. Why is St. Mary, why is St. Mary our hope? St. Mary is our hope, just like the Samaritan, because they heard the word of God and they did it. And so our hope today is that we can be like St. Mary, hear the word of God and do it. And if we do it, we will have rest. Today we want to recognize the divine encounters. We want to get past our confusion. And we will persevere through the spiritual dryness. And God will give us water. from a rock, living water from a rock. We want to be like St. Mary and the Samaritan woman, that when they heard the word of God, they did it. When they hear the word of God, they did it. Answer the call. Trust in the word of God to transform you. Yani, the last thing I will leave you with is that every time we come to the liturgy, we say words. And those words transform the bread into the body. They're words. We're saying prayers. And it makes transformation. Those same prayers can make transformation in you. And you can be like St. Mary and the Samaritan woman. And glory be to God forever. Amen.